Welcome to Radio Renegade with your host, Christian from Philly, and Batman, brought to you by World Generation Network, and in part by WrestleCorp.com. And now, Radio Renegade.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Radio Renegades. I am your host, Christian from Philly. Now, you all have been probably wondering what happened to Christian's Family Values and Fatal 4-Way Radio this past week. Well, it turns out we had some technical difficulties and we couldn't provide the show for you this week. But rest assured, next week we'll have both shows coming this coming week. Rest assured, we will. But right now, let me introduce you to my co-host of the night. Please give a warm, happy applause to my producer, Minister of Sinister.
Well, thank you, thank you. Thank you very much, Christian from Philly. How's it going, bud?
It's been going great, dude. As I told to the fans, we had technical difficulties for the past two shows this week.
That was a conspiracy on Thursday. I have to say, man, that was really fucked up. The show was ready to go. It came time to it, and then the technical difficulties there at the end, and we could not get on the air. It was just, the show was going on, but we could not get on. So that was a travesty and a conspiracy, I might add.
Yes. Before we get on with the show, let's give you a quick update to what's been happening this past few weeks. WWE Stomping Grounds ticket sales are a fucking failure. They haven't sold a lot of tickets, and you wonder why. With the amount of matches there are in this pay-per-view that are all repeat and rematches, you wonder why ticket sales are slow. By the way, at the end of the show, we're going to give our predictions, our official predictions, for Stomping Grounds 2019.
All right.
So, Minister, what's your response to the WWE not selling a lot of tickets for this fucking garbage pay-per-view?
Well, it's not surprising. It is not surprising at all to me that the tickets are not selling. I mean, it's a shit pay-per-view. I'm going to look it up right now. To see, where is that pay-per-view at? Do you know?
Somewhere around Washington.
Okay, Washington. Let's see here. Stomping Grounds.
Somewhere around Washington.
Tickets are available on StubHub for as low as $34. Section 119.
That's the thing.
Section 119 for as little as $34. Wow. Let's see here. Yeah, man. Wrestling right now, dude, it is freaking, especially when WWE, okay? Because AEW apparently did not have this problem selling out their pay-per-view. I understand they sold out in minutes. Their big pay-per-view coming up in Chicago. Is that correct, Christian? They sold out in minutes. So AEW is not having this problem, but WWE continues to struggle with their ticket sales. This is just on StubHub, dude. This is just on StubHub. It's at the Tacoma Dome. Okay, so let me see what they have on their website to see what they're doing as far as tickets go. Let me see here. Stomping Grounds, buy tickets. All right. But let me get back to this, man. You know, a lot of it to me, man, I've always been saying, look, dude, they're not even, I'm looking at the map right now, dude. And I know quite a bit about ticket sales and stuff like that, okay? And from what I'm looking at this map, they're not selling any sections. They're not selling tickets in sections 102 through 108, and they're not selling tickets in section 202 through 207 at all. That's one side of the arena that's completely fucking blacked out, dude.
Well, maybe that's why, because maybe they're selling it for free. Maybe they're giving the tickets away for free at this point.
Well, they're selling around the ring. They've got four tickets that they're selling, four sections. Section one, section two, those are both the sides where the fans come out. I mean, where the wrestlers come out. Okay? You know, where the stage is at.
Awful.
Okay, they're selling sections one and two, and then next to two is three. They're not selling tickets for that. Now, that right there, those are usually, a lot of times they'll leave those sections to sell them at the very end, okay? And, you know, people get lucky and they'll get in for whatever the price is in that section. Like, I'm showing the tickets are $77 in that section. So people will get in and they'll get a good ticket. They'll be able to get a good ticket for $77. And it'll be a great value and they'll have a great story, dude. Man, I got in. I got a great fucking ticket for $77. Too bad the show fucking sucked. But still, they had a great story how they got a great ticket for $77. One time, dude, I was able to get a WWE ticket for $17. Fourth row on the fucking floor, dude.
You know what story I would tell? The story is I got fucking robbed. That's what the story will be. They buy tickets for the show. I got fucking robbed.
That is true. That is true, because that the way WWE is going right now, it's just not going to happen. But yeah, I see other tickets on there. $227 standard ticket.
Wow.
Around the ring, $227 is the standard price. Okay, but they're not selling the section on the one side at all. They are not selling, and then tickets up on the upper level, $57 and such. Okay, you can get a great ticket for this for as little as $57. That is not bad. You can get a great fucking ticket for $57. Yeah, but you know what, though? There's plenty tickets. Tickets are available. They're plentiful. Because what I'm looking at right now indicates the seats that are available and the seats that are not. The seats that are available have a blue dot on them. The seats that are not available don't have a blue dot. However, I'm looking at this other map that shows the seats that are not available because they are not being sold. And that is fucking, that's a huge, I mean, that's a whole half of the fucking arena, bro. That's
good.
A whole half of the fucking arena that are not even being sold. So that means they're going to have black tarps over those seats, bro. Because that's how they do.
Good.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Good for them. They deserve it.
So this is a case of oversaturation with WWE, bro. They're fucking, not just Stomping Grounds, bro, but WWE as a whole. They are way too oversaturated with these fucking house shows and shit every fucking week. They just announced a new house show here in fucking Houston, dude, in August. A fucking shit house show on a Saturday fucking night, dude. They just announced
What's this fucking crappy slogan for the pay-per-view? We kick ass and take names. No, you're fucking not. That's a fucking lie right there. Kick ass and take name.
What's the fucking sham is the fucking logo. It's got a fucking boot on it, making it look like it's some type of badass Doc Martin boot or something like that. If I was Doc Martin, I'd be like, hey, what the fuck, man? You're fucking cheapening our boots, motherfuckers. You're cheapening our fucking boots.
Also, Stomping Grounds kind of sounds like a pay-per-view they had a while back, you know? It's not fucking original. I'm telling you 100% that they replaced the name Stomping with the word fucking battle. This is fucking Battlegrounds.
This
is fucking Battlegrounds, but it was replaced with the word battle with Stomping. This is fucking Battlegrounds. This isn't a new pay-per-view. This is not a new pay-per-view.
But, you know, you put this in contrast, dude, to WWE I mean, yeah, this is only one pay-per-view, okay? But you put it in contrast to what AEW was able to do. They sold out a fucking pay-per-view in minutes. And that's a big arena. You know, that's a good-sized arena that they sold out in minutes. It clearly shows that people have a strong interest in AEW, whereas WWE, you know, that interest has long faded away, bro. And I mean, they have driven us from you know, having a lot of shows on this network. We had T-Rock, you know, that bell because the shows are so fucking bad. You know, it put us in a tough spot. But I'll tell you what, man, speaking of T-Rock, great things are coming because he has reached out to me and he wants to do an AEW Fallout. Yes, sir. So we look forward to doing that in the future as soon as AEW gets some episodes going. There's probably a aren't they doing a pay-per-view at the end of the month?
They're doing the All Out pay-per-view, which is August.
Yeah.
The rest of the shows, I have to tell you, if we are doing a Fallout for AEW, it has to be on Wednesdays because that's what happens. Going to be on Wednesdays.
Hey, I'm all in, so to speak. All
right.
So yeah, great all news. Right. T-Rock, Hollywood, Tony P. T-Rock is coming back to host. AEW Fallout right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. So you heard it first right
now
here. Radio Renegade.
Now we need only double L to return. The guy that I beat for the IWC Legends Champion. The guy
that
I took the title.
That's a possibility, you know. This is going to be brand new programming with a different feel and a different edge, and people are excited about it, man. So yeah. You just never know what's going to happen here, man. But I look forward to whatever it does and whenever it does. And, you know, I can't wait to get T-Rock back on the network.
But enough about that, my brother. It's time to get the show on the road with missed booking opportunities. Are you ready?
I am ready. Let's do it. Crowd's ready, too.
The first segment is the Radicals. Now, if you don't know who the Radicals were, they were a faction with four people. Dean Malenko, Chris
Finkel
Benoit.
Malenko.
Yeah.
Chris
Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, and Terry Saturn. They were the best group that came to WWF when WCW went out of business. But then I felt like they didn't reach their top-level peak. You know, I felt like they were held back, especially Eddie. Eddie was actually held back because of this fucking stable, and they decided to break up the stable, which was the right thing to do, because Eddie was a breakout star, while Dean Malenko and fucking Terry Saturn went on to be nobodies, and you know what happened to Chris Benoit. We won't talk about what happened. But anyway, Minister, do you remember the Radicals?
Well, I remember a little bit about them. You know, I remember who they were. Perry Saturn, of course, you know, he was never really anything, man. He was a distraction, if anything else, with that crazy eye. And, of course, you had Benoit, Stinko Malenko, who, you know, he's still around. He's a backstage agent with WWE right now. But, yeah, and then you had, of course, Eddie Guerrero. But these guys, though, the thing that stands out about them is that didn't they have this name in WCW and they jumped ship to WWE and kept the same name?
No, they weren't a group in WCW. They were just singles competitors. They were only singles competitors.
Okay, and then they just ended up getting grouped together. Yeah, that's what it was. Because they bought the company and they were coming over here. Everybody was coming over here. So they just grouped these four dudes together. Yeah, that's what it was. They just grouped these four random guys and called them the Radicals.
And a little trivia note, Chris Benoit didn't win the world championship the first time ever in WWE. He actually won it at the first world championship at WCW and sold out against Bret Hart in a championship match. But Chris Benoit vacated the belt because he wanted to leave WCW. So there's a trivia fact right there.
Oh. Wow. And what about Shane Douglas? How come he wasn't in there?
Oh, because he's Shane Douglas, that's why. He's garbage. But Shane Douglas was in the WWF before.
Yeah,
Shane
he
Douglas
was.
Dean Douglas.
He was in WCW too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in the 2000s. But that was when WCW was sinking ship. That's when WCW was the sinking ship back then. And before he went to WCW and ECW, he was in the WWF as Dean Douglas, a teacher gimmick. That went nowhere.
Yeah. Of course, the best thing to come out of that, out of the Radicals, man, was definitely Eddie Guerrero, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with the whole fucking Viva La Raza and all that shit, the fucking bringing out the lowrider and the whole thing with China, too, and all that shit. I mean, you know, dude, Eddie was a hell of a fucking entertainer looking back on it, man. I fucking hated it, though. I hated the babyface aspect of him. I hated when he was a babyface. I used to like it when he was a fucking heel, though. But I didn't like babyface. I mean, it was the same shit, though. Just babyface.
Did you know that WCW was racist against Eddie Guerrero back then? Unintentionally?
No. Tell me.
So there was a pay-per-view called Sold Out for NWO. The NWO Sold Out. This was the first NWO pay-per-view when NWO was hot as hot. And Eddie Guerrero had a match against Six-Pac for the Cruiserweight Championship. And they called Eddie, you know, they announced the wrestlers as joking, miserable carnies, right? Because they always favored the NWO because it was their pay-per-view. So they introduced Eddie as the jumping Mexican bean.
Damn. Oh, my God.
And Eddie was fucking pissed off about that.
Oh, fuck.
They introduced him as the jumping Mexican bean.
That's pretty fucked up, though. I mean, yeah, he was Mexican. I'm Mexican-American, I would guess. Who the fuck? Was he born here in the States, or was he born in Mexico,
yeah.
You know?
He was born in the United States.
Yeah, he
also,
was born in El Paso, right?
Yeah, he was also a leader of his own NWO group called the Latino World Order.
Yeah, I
in WCW.
That shit.
Which was fucking garbage.
Yeah, man, it was, dude. Fuck.
And then,
you know, it was, man, but that was WCW being, you know, WCW, dude. They were so fucking full of fucking stars that they just turned to shit. They just ate themselves, bro. They just consumed themselves and fucking, they ate themselves, man. It was fucking crazy watching it.
I remember this one point in Eddie Guerrero in WCW where he came back from a kayfabe injury and he was disgustingly jacked. I mean, his body was fucking swollen.
Oh, yeah. They were all out of control, bro. Yeah, I remember that, dude. They were out of control, bro. Veins were fucking popping out of his fucking neck and shit, dude. His fucking shoulders. He looked like fucking a miniature fucking Incredible Hulk on steroids.
Ugh. Fucking terrible.
Yeah.
But speaking of the Cruiserweight Championship, it comes next with the next segment. The WWE Cruiserweight title, all the way from 2003 to 2007. What can I say about this misused fucking belt? It started off great with people like Matt Hardy and Rey Mysterio, but then when it went down the line, the only people that won constantly was Gregory Helms, which was okay, Chavo Guerrero, which was okay, but then it died a fucking painful death when Hornswoggle won the fucking title for the last time. How did we go? How the fuck did we go from Rey Mysterio to Matt Hardy to Gregory Helms to Chavo Guerrero to Hornswoggle? How the fuck did we go from that?
Yeah, I think you missed Funaki too.
Oh, well, fuck Funaki. I don't consider him a fucking champion. No, I don't consider him a fucking champion. Or did Ray? No, wait, hold on. I can't even say Ray. Did Ray even win the Cruiserweight title?
Yeah, he did. He did. And you know what, man? That's where he should have fucking stayed, dude. Because I've always I mean, if you're a Cruiserweight, you're a fucking Cruiserweight. That's your limit.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's fucking World Heavyweight Champion. It means nothing, heavyweight.
Yeah. And whenever that garbage theme song he debuted in the WWE, who's that rocking on the boat and all that shit? That was fucking awful.
God damn it, man.
Who's that rocking on the boat?
Shit.
So what's your opinion of the Cruiserweight title back then? And why do you think it was fucking ruined?
Well, like you said, it started out fucking fine and dandy and shit with Matt Hardy and shit, you know. And then, of course, they, you know, Rey Mysterio and stuff like that. But then it seemed that, the, you know, those guys, they were too mainstream for that title. And, you know, then they take the title and they put it on, you know, people that are further away in the mid card, you know. And so, like, it just ruined all the prestige from the Cruiserweight title. Then, you know, you start putting the title on fucking characters like Hornswoggle and shit, dude, and that's it. It's done. It,
by
like,
the
if
way,
it wasn't bad enough that fucking Funaki had it.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck
speaking
did Funaki
Cruiserweight
ever do? You know.
He was a fucking Japanese announcer. That was all he was.
Yeah.
But speaking of the Cruiserweight title, I don't think we ever talked about the design of the current Cruiserweight title. I'm going to be completely honest. I fucking hate it. It's the most ugliest fucking title I've ever seen in my life. The
current one
we have now. I fucking hate it.
It looks like some type of fucking tampon or some shit, dude.
The purple
fucking tampon, dude.
Fucking awful. I hate it.
That's a fucking purple fucking tampon, bro. That's all it is.
Is the Barney the dinosaur title?
Yeah, it's absolutely fucking horrendous. Horrendous.
And that doesn't mean the Cruiserweight title from back then didn't look bad either. It was fucking
awful,
too.
Yeah, I was just about to say, too, man.
It looked awful as well. Like, it looked fucking cheap as fuck.
The WCW one was not so bad.
No, it wasn't, no. But it wasn't that serious because they didn't take Cruiserweight serious in WCW. Oh, yeah, they did, but later on they didn't.
The WWE one was more generic.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. Rey Mysterio's old fucking WCW fucking attires were fucking horrendous. I'll tell you that. It was one where he was covered in all purple with fucking body suits and shit. It was fucking horrible. One of the worst Rey Mysterio attires I've ever seen in my life.
Let me see that. I'm going to put Rey Mysterio WCW images.
Like, it's
fuck, man.
Fucking,
what about when he was wearing fucking horns, dude? Rey Mysterio WCW, and then I click on images.
Uh-huh.
And the first picture that comes up of him, dude, it looks like he's got his hair in a ponytail, and he's got like some, he's wearing some fucking, he doesn't have the mask on.
Oh, that's when he was in the Filthy Animal.
He's wearing fucking suspenders, and he's got fucking horns, bro.
That's when he was, That was his, guess what? That was his first heel run. Ever. His first and only heel run. In WCW.
Oh my God.
Fucking awful.
Now
let's talk about the person on the next segment of misbooking opportunities that we cannot fucking stand. Sid fucking Vicious is WCW run. I don't give a fuck if you're a fan of Sid Vicious. The guy was fucking garbage, okay? This guy fucking sucked. His power bombs were the worst power bombs I've ever seen in professional wrestling history. The guy was a fucking idiot every time he talked in a fucking promo. His fucking feud with Kevin Nash was the worst pro wrestling feud I've ever fucking seen in my life. The fact that he went from face to heel, you know what? People like to talk about Big Show turning face and heel. Sid Vicious did it fucking first because he turned a lot of face and heels too. Sid Vicious was the originator from that shit because he turned a lot of face and heel turns back then. Fuck Sid Vicious. I hated his WCW run. This guy, why the fuck was he even still wrestling at this point? This was 1999, all the way to 2000. He should have retired by then. And look what happened. He broke his leg in a WCW pay-per-view because he wanted to do a fucking high jump on the top rope. You're a big fucking guy, you idiot. Why are you doing fucking top rope moves, you fucking moron? You fucking dumbass. You injured yourself. You fucking idiot. He does a fucking top rope move, and then he breaks his fucking ankle and leg. With Scott Steiner. Now I'm gonna let Minister tell you about his experience with his fucking run because he hates Sid as much as I do.
Sid Vicious had no business in fucking man, dude. He came in the late 80s, right?
Yeah.
That guy, he never made sense in any of his promos. Didn't we have a segment on here where we used one of his promos as a worst promo?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Where fucking he was what was he saying in that promo? Oh my gosh.
You have less brains than I do.
You have less brains. Oh my God, dude. Sid Vicious, man, he's fucking horrible. He always was horrible. I never liked that guy from the get-go, dude. He was nothing but overhyped, and he was dangerous in the ring. I mean, dangerous, dude. This guy was fucking horrible, man. He was another fucking Goldberg, but only worse, if that's possible. He was worse than fucking Goldberg, dude. So, I never did like this guy, man. He's just fucking a horrible main attraction.
And the fact that he became WWE champion, knowing that there were other top stars back then.
They treated him like a fucking main attraction, dude, and he was fucking garbage.
He was fucking garbage, dude.
All he did was take from the business, dude. He named me one fucking time when he gave back to the fucking business.
He came back in 2012 against Heath Slater.
Fuck.
That was fucking awful.
Oh, my God.
Fucking good.
Heath Slater. Speaking of Heath Slater, didn't he get jacked up the other day? Didn't they jack him up?
Yeah, against Drew McIntyre. Yeah, Drew McIntyre attacked him because he asked Shane to give him a raise.
But I couldn't understand it because
I couldn't understand a word he was saying because their fucking mic working that night.
Oh, my God,
awful.
I know.
I couldn't understand what he was saying.
I was like, what the fuck is going on here? The stupid audio guy.
Kevin Dunn. Kevin fucking Dunn's a fucking moron. That's what he is.
Fucking shit.
Anyway.
Up.
Yeah, and then
Sid Vicious, man. Piece of shit, dude. Piece of fucking shit.
Do you remember his WCW run exactly, or can you remember at least some of it?
No, I don't remember it, dude. Maybe if you refresh in my mind, you know what I mean? Maybe if you refresh in my memory, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember. Wasn't he with the Outsiders?
No, he was against the Outsiders. He was feuding with Hulk Hogan and fucking Sting in the 1995 and some shit, you know, bashing the beach and some garbage. Then he came back in late 1999. Turned babyface and feuded with Nash and Hall, but then, you know, became commissioner.
They tried to turn this piece of shit into a babyface, really? Oh, my God. That was the worst ever, dude.
That was awful.
The worst ever. This guy babyface fucking Sid Vicious. That no thank you.
Well, let's move on.
And this was their main event, dude.
Yeah.
You know, this was their main event storyline, and they had this guy. You know, they always treated him like put him on a fucking pedestal and gave him headliner roles when he was just fucking shit, dude.
Yeah. But he was only headliner at Thunder, not in Nitro, just Thunder, the B show. But let's move on to what the fuck moment. The first what the fuck moment is the 24/7 title debut. This deserves to be what the fuck because what the fuck is this? This title is a disgrace. It's a joke. All right? Say what you want about the hardcore title, but there's a big difference between the 24/7 rule for the hardcore championship and this fucking joke of a title. In the hardcore championship version, there were actually matches to go along with this fucking rule. Extreme rules matches. There were matches. This fucking 24/7 belt, this is just what? One just crappy roll ups everywhere in the 1, 2, 3. What the fuck is this? This is not fucking entertaining. Where are the matches that actually defend this fucking belt? And why is it only R-Truth that's getting this fucking title? You know how many times R-Truth is still fucking champion? This is fucking horrible. Crash Holly may have been the longest hardcore champion, but you know what? At least he lost it, won it back, and lost it again. R-Truth loses it in one fucking segment, but then he gets it back and he comes back, does the same shit on Monday and Tuesday. It's repetitive. It's horrible. R-Truth is the only fucking champion. It's repetitive and it's awful. This is fucking dumb. It's horrible. What's your opinion of the fucking title? Oh, I can't even call it a title. I can't even call it a title. It's not even a championship. It's a fucking merchandise thing. It's a novelty. What's your response, Minister? This is fucking garbage.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, man, I would be, you know, you might fucking start seeing guys in the fucking lobbies of WWE events with this title fucking pinning each other as part of an act. You know, they're going to go rogue and go on their own and fucking, you know, to try to entertain fans, anybody who will watch them. And of course people will be videotaping. And, I mean, it's a piece of shit title, dude. It's a fucking absolute piece of shit title. But, you know, the way things are, I don't know, man. Some of these fucking fans nowadays, they might fucking gravitate to it and do what I said and start fucking, you know, at shows and shit, doing their own fucking thing. I hate how they fucking run around after this title. It's always the same fucking guys. Always the same fucking handful of fucking nobody. And this week, I don't know, I guess you didn't watch the end there where fucking Drake fucking Maverick got the title now.
Oh, he lost it.
He lost it?
He lost it at his wedding.
Did I miss the end or what?
No. He lost it at his wedding.
When the fuck did he get married? Was this on a fucking YouTube segment or on a fucking Facebook show or some shit?
No, this was real. They really got married. R-Truth pinned him and won the title back.
Who married Drake Maverick?
Yeah, Drake Maverick got married with a girl. I don't know the girl, but it was part of a YouTube video. They really did get married, and R-Truth pinned Drake Maverick, and he's now getting the 24/7 title. And we're right back where we started.
Fuck.
We're right back where we fucking started.
Fucking shit, dude. They just fucking come out all of a sudden out of nowhere and fucking... I noticed that they tried to do something. They almost copied John Wick, where it was like they were trying to copy John Wick this week with the fucking Miz. Kind of like when John Wick... Cassium on John Wick 2, and he sees John Wick and he's like, John? And then John Wick's like, Cassium? And then the dude's like, you working? He's like, yeah. You know, that scene that they had when R-Truth was fucking, like, gonna go over the rail, and he just stays still for a minute. And then Miz fucking selected him to be his fucking tag team partner. That whole fucking thing.
And
Miz loses. Shit, dude.
And Miz loses again.
Yeah. And Miz fucking lost again, and then the fucking people from the back come running out like a bunch of fucking idiots, and he takes off and the chain is on and shit. That shit, it's fucking tiring. It's fucking bullshit.
Awful.
They should have done my idea and just have gone with the goddamn TV championship, and you're the fucking TV champion, and you have to defend it whenever you come out on TV, and that's that.
It was fucking garbage.
If you're going to have something like that, do it like that. Don't fucking do this shit where they're running around after each other like a fucking pack of fucking children. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Nobody wants to see that shit.
Especially EC3, who looks pissed off every time he's on camera. He looks
fucking
angry.
But do you
fucking
blame him? I would be pissed off too. He's got a fucking multi-year deal with him that just fucking started.
Awful. Fucking disgraceful. Now, I know you probably don't remember this next what the fuck moment. This one's a rare one. JBL Border Patrol. Do you remember this?
Well, I'm not going to lie to you and say that I remembered, because I did not remember. However, I did go back and look it up. And it was, oh my God, what the fuck? What in the actual fuck are they doing? He kicks that dude at the end. I mean, I was laughing because of the ridiculousness of it. But yeah, it was ridiculous, dude. Fucking ridiculous.
All right. So let me explain what this was. All right. So there was a thing. There was a voting thing where they chose who was the most valedictorian of WWE. A lot of people chose John Cena because John Cena was the popular superstar back then, but JBL interrupted Kurt Angle voting because Kurt Angle was the SmackDown general manager back then. So JBL showed that he was keeping Mexican immigrants out of the border. I'm telling you, this was the same year SmackDown went fucking mental. This is when SmackDown was fucking mental.
I'm here in the United States side of the Texas-Mexico border.
Yeah.
I'm here to prove a point.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this is our most porous part of our entire border. It's basically uninhabited and unpatrolled.
The fucked up part
this is
where
thousands of illegal immigrants cross this border each and every year. Mexicans who come to our country and pay no
whispering.
Taxes.
It's creepy.
I'm an American.
He's whispering because they're out there, bro.
I I've made a fortune.
And he doesn't want them to hear him
because
he'll scare them off.
So I know what
he's trying to catch them.
Due to our economy, they take advantage of our health care system, our welfare system, and they send all their money back to Mexico.
He
and
makes a good fucking
like
point.
Like
bunch of fucking roaches.
Like half of America.
Yeah, but
like half of the state of Texas.
Yeah, but this makes
them
a fucking
crazy.
The fact that
yeah.
in the middle of the night,
they look to government like it's Big Brother.
Up as a fucking sheriff cowboy.
That's why people like me who made my own money
on the fucking
such outrageous
field, looking for Mexicans
to pay for people. I told you it wouldn't be long. Now I'm gonna prove.
Oh, there they are. There they are.
I'm gonna prove my point. Right there. It's a whole herd of Mexicans. The government won't do anything about it. The INS won't either. Texas is too scared. Texas is a bunch of cowards. But John Bresch.
Stop right there! Stop right there, you hear me? Layfield will be waiting.
Come on, man.
What a bunch of
You can't tell me that's not entertaining, bro.
It was entertaining. I'm not saying it wasn't, but the fact that he looked like an idiot.
The fact that he was our WWE champion makes us ashamed of ourselves. The fact that he was our WWE champion.
I can't believe that that they did that, though. But, you know, they were still edgy back then, dude. What was this, 2006, 2007?
No, this was 2003, dude. I'm telling you, this was the same year that Vince McMahon said that he wanted fucking gang members to rape Undertaker's wife. Kurt Angle wanted bestiality sex with Charmel.
Were they on
CNN? No, it wasn't
were
CNN.
Were they on the
it
country
was,
music station?
No. They were on UPN or something.
Oh, wow. Damn, man. Mm-hmm. That is some fucking hardcore shit, dude.
I'm telling you, this was a fucking mental year for WWE. 2003 was considered the most vile, disturbing year of WWE history. We had fucking Triple H fucking a corpse. We had fucking Vince McMahon saying that he wants Undertaker's wife to get raped by gang members. We have Kurt Angle saying he wants Charmel to have bestiality sex with fucking Kurt Angle. We had
Man.
Fucking this with the Border Patrol. And then we had the next segment on the What the Fuck Moment. Big Show getting tranquilized by a fucking elephant dart gun by Kurt Angle and his head shaved off.
Man.
Holy fuck. This was a fucked up year. This was fucked. this was also the year that fucking Kane raped Lita.
Wow.
Storyline
yeah,
wise,
the fucking rails. They were off the fucking rails, bro.
How did they got away with this in the censorship? I have no fucking idea.
No,
this
bro.
Fuck.
No.
This
no.
Was no.
Let me tell you, they could get away with that shit even today, bro. They could get away with that shit even today. The reason they, on TV they could. On TV they sure as fuck could, dude. You pay attention to any of these fucking shit shows that are on television, dude. And they're all about fucking, the references, bro, are all about fucking drugs and fucking being lesbian or gay and fucking crazy ass references, bro. You watch that show with the two women. What is that show? It used to come out on Monday nights, dude. They were like waitresses. Watch a fucking episode of that shit, dude. And fucking, they say some raunchy fucking shit on these shows. But, and WWE could be doing the same thing. But the reason they can't is because of their fucking deals with Mattel and all that shit, bro. That's why they can't.
Yeah, but still, dude, the fact that Vince McMahon said on live television that Undertaker's wife was gonna get raped.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, I'm not fucking saying that's okay. You
that's
know, so
up.
But yeah, it is fucked up.
I don't know what the fuck he was thinking when he said that. That was out of line right there. That was really, really out of line. I've never heard backlash from it either. I never heard him get any fucking trouble for that shit. But back with the whole tranquilizer.
I mean, I guess they get away. Dude, they have done a lot of crazy fucking shit on there. And I guess they get away with it because of under the guise of fucking kayfabe.
It's
fucking pitiful.
It's pitiful. Yeah. It's fucking sad. Makes you wonder how this fucking company beat the Monday Night Wars.
Makes you wonder how in this current era that we're in, people have not brought out that shit against him, all that crazy shit he's done, and have lashed out against him publicly.
Yeah.
You know, everybody lashes about everything, dude. There's so many fucking protests and shit.
And he said the N-word too, by the way.
Yeah.
So when Vince McMahon says the N-word, he doesn't get trouble. But when Hulk Hogan did it years ago, he gets fucking fired from the WWE. Okay, that seems fucking fair. That seems so fair, yeah? That's a lot fair.
Shit, Negro, that's all you had to say.
Fuck this company. But anyway, let's go back to the Big Show tranquilizing dart gun segment, where Kurt Angle literally grabbed an elephant gun dart and shot Big Show on the fucking spine. And it really did hit him on the spine, because Big Show said it in an interview that he hit him in the spine, in the bone, and it really fucking hurt. And Big Show had to pretend to be knocked out, and Kurt Angle shaved his head. Now, Minister looked it up, and he saw it, and he thought it was hilarious, and I thought it was hilarious. But it was weird.
But it is fucked up,
that was the closing moment of SmackDown. That was the closing segment. Holy fuck. Jeez.
Yeah. I don't know how big the needle was. And I would imagine it stuck on him, so it had to be, you know, at least fucking, I would say at least a quarter inch, maybe even a half inch. Man, you know, that needle could have stuck something vital. The back is the back, dude. I mean, you know, the back is fucking, you know, you don't want to fuck with your back, dude. And to just have someone fucking carelessly fucking shoot something at you. Or not necessarily carelessly, but I mean, goddamn, it's not like he fucking stood there and aimed. He just fucking shot, pointed it at his fucking back, and took a fucking shot, and it hit where it hit. But I mean, what I'm saying is, like, that could have hit the fucking vital piece of the fucking back or some shit, you know, to, you know, cause some kind of fucking fucked up damage.
Yeah.
I'm saying it was not a good move, dude. It was not a good move. But to do that,
they should have done a barbershop match instead.
Yes.
They should have done that.
Yes, I'm off. I said the same thing, dude. They should have fucking done some type of hair match or some shit. You're gonna lose your fucking hair. You lose your fucking hair. Fuck it. I'm gonna do it.
Or Kurt Angle could have just whacked his head on with the gun itself. You know, let's say the ammo is jammed. Kurt can't shoot the tranquilizer gun, so the next best thing is he whacks Big Show's head with the fucking gun and knocks him out.
Hey, fuck it.
The gun's jammed. You could have just done that.
They could have done a hair versus fucking hair match. In a match where they...
Bald.
Oh, he was already
bald?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Big Show held on to his hair a little bit too long anyway. He should have fucking shaved his head when fucking Kurt Angle shaved his. They could have done a hair versus hair match where one loses and then he gets his fucking head shaved, but then he fucking gets so fucked up about it he beats the other guy down and shaves his head too. Fuck it.
This is what should have happened. If this should have happened, this should have happened on a pay-per-view. And the stipulation should have been this. Let's say it should have happened at a backlash. Let's say a backlash, right? Let's say it happened on SmackDown's Backlash, right? And these two had a match. It's a hair loss match, right? So let's say the stipulation was if Big Show wins, he gets a shot at the WWE Undisputed Championship against Brock Lesnar. But if Kurt Angle wins, not only does he get the shot for the title, but he shaves Big Show's head.
Yeah, they could have done that too.
But no, they didn't do that. And instead, Big Show could have been paralyzed, almost. Fucking awful.
It's fucked up, man.
But I digress. That's the end of what the fuck moments. It's now time for what if scenarios. These are the interesting questions. What if WCW was another WWF brand? Now, if you don't know what I mean, right? This was the original plan for the 2001 shit, where WWE was thinking of making WCW the third brand for WWF when they bought WCW. But it failed after one fucking match between Booker T and Buff Bagwell. It fucking failed because the match was fucking boring. Nobody gave a shit about it. And it took two heels out of Kurt Angle and Stone Cold Steve Austin to end the fucking match. And they cheered the heels. That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
So the original plan was to have WCW be the third brand for, you know, wrestlers. Now we're here to discuss what if that really went what if that went to plan? What if WCW was a third brand right now? With that crappy ass red fucking logo that looked fucking garbage. So Minister, what if WCW was the third brand for WWE?
Well, you know, there's it's hard to say.
Because that was
hard to say.
Because that was the original plan.
Yeah, it's hard to say, man. I mean, they could have done it. It's all how they would have done it. And they could have done it in one way, and then it could have totally turned out to be another, because sometimes the fans gravitate towards something for all the wrong reasons, as the business model would have it. They're for all the wrong reasons, but the fans don't want business model. They want their own fucking thing. And so then the company, WWE, would then realize, you know, fuck, man, this is slipping away from us, and it's not going the way we fucking want it. So then they're going to fucking go along with it for a little bit, and everybody's going to be happy for a few weeks, and then they're going to fucking pull the fucking cord on it and do something totally fucking different. Now, we've seen them do that before. We've seen them fucking come out and fucking tell us firsthand that things are going to be fucking different, and then things are exactly the fucking same. It's like, what the fuck, dude? So when you hear something like this, what if? You know, okay, well, it could have been cool, but if it's not what they wanted, they would have found a way to fucking kill it anyway. You understand what I'm saying? So no matter if it would have been cool, it would have been fucked up by them anyway, because it was cool.
Did you remember the match between Booker T and Buff Bagwell in WWF?
Man, I don't.
It was fucking awful.
And then what did you say about the heels that came out?
Stone Cold
happened?
Steve Austin and Kurt Angle. They interfered the match and people were cheering because the match was over. This was in 2001 when Stone Cold turned heel and the whole invasion started.
Yeah.
So WCW was a failed as a third brand anyway.
Yeah.
It was failed.
And that's just the way that it goes, man.
The next one is, what if Paul Heyman owned WWE? I'll tell you what would have happened. WWE would have went to the fucking ground, because if you think that Paul Heyman, as good as he is, knows how to run a company, you're out of your fucking mind, all right? You're out of your mind if you think Paul Heyman knows how to run a company. Look at ECW, okay? Look how many incidents they had in ECW. Look how many concussions they had in ECW. In fact, the death toll professional wrestlers was in a large sum of ECWs. If you think the WWE would have stuck around if Paul Heyman owned the WWE, you're out of your fucking mind, all right? Paul Heyman couldn't manage fucking money for shit. In fact, he lost a lot of money quicker than a fucking week or month. Paul Heyman was fucking awful with money. He lost a lot of money. He had to fucking buy a loan. He had to ask for a loan from his fucking competitor, WWF. So that tells you that this man was willing, that was ready to own WWE. You're out of your fucking mind. Minister, what's your opinion on it?
Yeah, man. Paul Heyman would never, ever be able to run WWE. WCW was too much for him, and they were just a local fucking deal. East Coast deal. WWE was already fucking nationwide and even had fucking events going on, you know, throughout the world. Not as many as they do now, but they still had some here and there. There's no way fucking Paul Heyman would have been able to fucking handle that. No way. He was never a fucking good business owner. He has a great business mind. He has a great sense for it. That's because he's been a fucking fan of it since he was a fucking kid. He used to go to the fucking wrestling and shit. When he was a kid, he had his fucking fanzine and shit, and he would fucking go to all the fucking events. He was always there. So he's got a great mind for it and a great passion for it. But that doesn't mean he can run a fucking business. So yeah, it would have been down. It would have been down in tubes. It's,
he had to borrow a loan from his competitor. That's how bad he was.
That's pretty fucked up.
He had to borrow a loan from WWF. And this was the most interesting one. What if Triple H led the Alliance faction? You know, the fucking awful Alliance faction with WCW and ECW? No, this one would make sense because if you remember, Triple H was in WCW first as Terra Horizon. And let's be real, Stephanie is also in this faction, so it would make more sense for Triple H to stick with his wife than with his father-in-law. And the fact that Stone Cold Steve Austin would join him, too, because they're also part of the two-man power trip, it only makes sense if Triple H was the leader. I mean, think about it. Why the fuck would Triple H fight for WWF? Where he could join the Alliance, where there were two McMahons on one side, Paul Heyman, his wife, you know, Stephanie, and then Stone Cold Steve Austin, his partner. So it would have made more sense. And plus, what allegiance did he have with the WWF? He hated everybody in the WWF. He hates everybody. So why the fuck would he fight for the company? So it would make sense for Triple H to be the leader of the Alliance. But the Alliance would still lose. But I wouldn't have Triple H beg for his job. I would have had Triple H go away for a while and return the same year that he won the World Heavyweight Championship when Eric Bischoff debuted as the general manager. All right? I wouldn't have Triple H bend backwards and beg for his fucking job back. I wouldn't fucking do that because that would be fucking awful. Minister, how would you have felt if Triple H was the leader of the Alliance?
I would have had him go away. Then come back.
Huh? Yeah.
I would have had him go away and then come back, like you said. That was back in the day when they still did shit like that.
Weird.
But I mean, so, you know, this whole fucking Alliance thing, I thought it was fucking bullshit to begin with, dude.
Mid-carders. All of them are fucking mid-carders.
Yeah. They were all, it was all a bunch of bullshit to begin with, man.
And then you had WWF stars joining the fucking faction who had nothing to do with ECW or WCW at all. What the fuck?
So, okay, who, but it was fucking Shane O'Mac.
Yeah, Stephanie, Paul, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Christian, Test, Rhino, RVD, Tommy Dreamer.
Man, dude,
yeah. And the rest. And the rest.
Fucking shit,
fucking
dude.
Fucking awful. Yeah. But you know what? We're done with all the segments. It's time for the fun part of the night. It's time for fucking predictions.
Oh, hell. Predictions. I'm going to need a pen for this. I'll tell you what. Let's take a quick little break. Let's take a quick all little right. break so that I can grab a drink and a pen.
Yeah.
And then we'll get to them predictions. How about that?
Yep, and also we're including extra credit questions, so stay tuned because right now, when we come back from a quick break, the predictions of Stomping Shit Ground. Coming, we'll be right back after these messages.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Find yourself feeling depressed, hopeless, having trouble sleeping, struggling with frequent panic attacks, irritability, constant arguments with family.
I know Dad did too. I know that.
Friends, or even friends of friends on Facebook. Yelling at your phone or computer screen.
Unbelievable.
And the constant urge to pull out your hair. If any of these sound familiar, you may be suffering from TIAD, or Trump-induced anxiety disorder. Impichara may help. Impichara is a prescription medication that may alleviate many symptoms of TIAD. Impichara works on your brain's neurotransmitters and optical receptors, convincing you that Donald Trump has already been impeached. Not all patients have the same reactions, and results may vary.
Okay.
Side effects may include elation, the ability to focus on work and family again, and reconnecting with people you called ignorant fuckfaces on social media.
Boom.
Women that are pregnant or nursing should ask their doctor, as well as their state legislators, if they are allowed to take this medicine. Impichara is not approved for children or adolescents under voting age and should not be taken by those in favor of the current administration, for it may cause thoughts of suicide or spontaneous bowel movements. In rare cases, people have developed a skin condition known as Cheeto face. Tell your doctor right away if you have thoughts of comb-overs or experience a reduction in the size of your hands. Before you decrease or stop taking Impichara, make sure you have disabled instant news alerts on all of your mobile devices.
Things got pretty dark there for a while, but thanks to Impichara, I've elected to be happy. Nice shot.
Talk to your doctor to see if Impichara might be right for you.
Go again.
Also, do it fairly soon before you lose your health insurance.
Looking for some wholesome family fun? Tune in Thursday to the World Generation Podcast Network for Christian Family Values. WWE Watchdog Christian from Philly, his father, the Joker, and mother, Big Mama, gather around the campfire for a weekly chat about wrestling that is guaranteed to blow your mind. That's Thursday, right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. Check your local listings.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Yeah, listen to that awful attitude. You know what that mean? God, you like my dad did me. Money tall like an elephant, strong like a veteran. Basically, I'm a better man. But you already know. I bet you don't even understand what this man is saying.
It comes from money.
Oh my god.
The auto tune. Fuck, man. I guess he thought it was cool. I don't know, man. Like your respect. If you was in my shoes, you'd be blessed. You'd be awesome and you'd be cool. You'd be me, so you'd be the best. But that's my job and I'm paid, so I like my eyes. Now let's see, we compare our salaries. Honestly, you can't challenge me. Really though, you'll be fine. Just broke because the money's all mine. Long time coming, I don't care about the cost. No matter what. So, this is the worst intro of the week.
Yeah. Ted DiBiase Jr. Alright, so. It sounds like a fucking theme song for a fucking douchebag.
Yeah, and like I said, man, it's unfortunate, dude. I don't know. Somebody sold him on this song, and it was a bad idea, dude. It was just a fucking bad idea. But yeah, you know what, man? This guy was such a fucking disappointment, man. I thought he was gonna be the bigger star, and I was very vocal about it. I was very fucking vocal about it. Man, and he just fucking proved me fucking wrong, dude. He was fucking turned into shit,
what?
Dude.
You know how Christian called the fans his peeps? Well, Ted DiBiase Jr. also had a nickname for the fucking fans. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
The DiBiase Posse.
Oh shit. Well, that explains the song, bro. Yeah. That explains the song, bro. So everything about him was awful, apparently. And he had me sold, dude, when they were in fucking Legacy and shit. I just thought he was gonna be the bigger star. I knew they were gonna break up,
and I just thought he was gonna be the bigger star.
Cody hadn't fucking developed into what he could become yet.
He's nothing like his fucking dad, bro. He's fucking boring. He's the most unmotivated fucking wrestler I've ever seen in my entire life.
He's so
unmotivated.
Yep, he is. Well, yeah, everything fucking handed to him, and he just fucking... He wasn't cut out for it, dude. And you know what, dude?
Yeah,
that is the fucking big deal, too. I'm telling you the big difference, too, bro. And he had it paved. He had the fucking road paved for him, dude. If he didn't have to fucking take the fucking bumps and bruises that his dad had to fucking take to get where his dad got to... Dude, before his dad became that fucking clown that he was on WWE, because WWE turned him into a fucking clown with that goddamn gimmick, dude. But before he was that fucking clown, dude, he fucking had them hard knocks. He was a babyface over on Georgia Championship Wrestling and shit. The fucking Freebirds used to beat that man down, dude, every fucking week senselessly. I mean, they would fucking beat him up every fucking week, dude. It got to the point where I was even tired of fucking seeing the Freebirds beating up Ted DiBiase. And then somebody else had a run with him, too. I can't remember who it was. But anyway, he was a babyface, right? But he would take a great fucking beating, dude. Blood and shit, dude. And so he fucking paved the way to hand everything to his fucking son, dude, who was in fucking WWE, never had to have the fucking excessive blood or the chair shots or any of that shit, bro, because they were done with that already at the time. You know what I mean? They had slowed down the chair shots quite a bit already. So he fucking, you know, he had it easy. And even then,
he had a,
like you said, he was unmotivated.
He even had a Hell in a Cell tag match with him and Cody versus DX, and he didn't even get that much hurt in the fucking Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah. So yeah, man, he fucking definitely just threw it all away. Just threw it all the fuck away, bro. Fuck Ted DiBiase,
well,
fuck his
well,
theme.
Fuck him. Well, fuck him, because we're starting something interesting, more interesting than that boring fuckface.
That's right.
Prediction for stopping shit show. Shit ground.
You got it right here, brother.
How many matches in total, man?
Let me pull up the fucking card right here. Stomping shit ground. Stomping Grounds card. Let me go with Wiki. I like the Wikipedia, dude. All right, so they've got 9 matches, brother.
And 3 of them, and there's only 3 new and original matches in it. Three new matches. So that's 6 repeat matches and 3 original matches. How fucking sad is that?
Very sad, brother. Very fucking sad indeed. So let's get started.
All right.
Let's go with number 9 first. The 9th. We'll go with Daniel Bryan. Okay. We'll go. I'll tell you what. We'll start out with the question of which will be the opening match of the pay per view.
I don't fucking know. Let's see.
Now, the opening match is not the pre-show match.
Okay.
Okay, so which all match right, do you think is the going to be the opening match? I'm assuming, and I don't have which one is the pre-show on here. Hold on, let me see if I can find that.
I'm going to say Samoa Joe and Ricochet.
I think CBS usually has a pre-show. Samoa Joe and Ricochet. Damn, that sounds like a good one.
That's the one I say is going to open the match.
Fuck's going on here? All right. Oh, fuck, man. That is a good. So the opening match, okay? So opening match. Samoa Joe. Versus who?
Ricochet.
Oh, yeah. And I am going to say that the opening match will be... The New Day versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Oh, that will be fucking dead. That will be fucking dead still. All right, so let's take our time and see who wins those matches first. All right. Let's go
opening
with Ricochet versus Joe first. Let's go to Ricochet versus Joe first. If they are the opening match, who wins in that one? I'm going to say Joe. Joe retains.
Joe retains. I, too, say Joe retains. I don't see this going any other way, bro. I just don't, man. I mean, don't get me wrong, dude. I like Ricochet. and he puts on a good show bouncing around those fucking ropes and shit, you know, but I mean, come on, bro. Are they going to turn him into Rey Mysterio, bro?
Probably, yeah. All right, so the New Day versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I'm going to go on the limb. I'm going to say Kevin and Zayn because, fuck me, they've been losing to the New Day every single fucking week. They need a fucking win. So make them win in the fucking pay-per-view and end this fucking feud once and for all. Kevin and Zayn, they win. What? Because why does the New Day need to win this match? There's nothing on the line in this fucking match. If anything, Kevin and Zayn need it more because they've been losing every single fucking match against the New Day from SmackDown every week and Raw. So I'm going to say Sammy and Kevin to win.
I, too, am going in with Sammy and Kevin on this, but for different reasons, because I believe that seeds will start planting for a New Day breakup. And Sammy, Zayn, and Kevin will benefit from that. And dissension will start among the New Day soon. And I think Sami Zayn and KO will benefit from that. So, yeah, I'm going with Sami Zayn and KO.
All right.
So that,
what's
that?
Next match?
All right. So then let's go with the cruiserweight match. No.
Boring.
Let's go with fucking Daniel Bryan and Rowan versus Heavy Machinery, Otis and Tucker, in a tag team match. For the SmackDown Tag Team Champion. And by the way, Daniel and Rowan, in case you did not know, are the champions.
Yeah.
And the reason
and
I
so
say that is because I did not know that. I had forgotten that they were champions.
And so are Heavy Machinery. They're the YOLO County champions for the fucking
no,
cardboard.
My God. Oh, fuck. At this point, they
I'm
need to
say
get
that,
rid of one of the championship, one of the tag team championships.
Well, I'm going to say Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan retain. It's not a no-brainer. It's not a no-brainer there. Fucking awful, horrible match in my opinion. This sounds like a fucking awful match.
It sounds like a very fucking ugly match indeed. A horrible match. I hope it does not last more than 3 minutes. But I have a feeling we will get a bunch of fucking shenanigans and fucking fuckery. And it'll probably go on longer than that. And so yeah, it's going to be fucked up. But I too... say that Brian and fucking Rowan win this match. So far, we are dead even on the picks.
Yeah, because it's
predictable. I don't see it going any other way. I just can't see it. I wish I could disagree, but goddamn, I just can't see it, dude. Let's go with fucking a different one. This is a triple threat. Let's go with the Cruiserweight Championship. Tony, and to me, this is obvious too. So I'll just say it. Tony V, champion, retains.
Yeah. Me too. Let's skip it. Tony needs to retain.
Oh, fuck, dude. All right. Let's get down to number 5. Kofi Kingston versus Dolph Ziggler.
Kofi retains because they already spoiled it that he's going to face Dolph Ziggler again and add a champion. They already spoiled it. Kofi retains.
I, too, say that Kofi retains his title, possibly in a heelish way, again. But he retains, nevertheless. Some type of fuckery, obviously. I bet you it's steel cage, dude. Steel cage.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some type of fuckery.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins versus Baron fucking Corbin in a match that, fuck, man. This one is a little bit different, though. We get a special guest referee.
And it's the main event.
And it is for the Universal Championship. And it's the main event, Christian is saying. So, we have Seth Rollins, champion versus Baron Corbin, dude. That's I'm going to do two questions on this. First, who wins the match?
Seth.
Seth Rollins. And I, too, say that Seth Rollins wins the match. And who will be the special guest referee?
Well, the predictable one might be Bray Wyatt, but I like to go against Bray Wyatt. I think it's going to be a woman referee because they keep saying it's a man. I mean, they keep hinting that Seth Rollins hits men with steel chairs, but he wouldn't hit a woman with a steel chair. So I'm going to say Lacey Evans. Lacey Evans is a special guest referee. They've been hinting about it this whole week on Raw. The fact that Seth Rollins keeps hitting men who's chosen to be the referee as a steel chair, but Seth wouldn't hit a woman with a steel chair. So Baron would choose Lacey as the special guest referee. So I'm going to say Lacey. Lacey Evans.
No, I'm going to say something different. While I do like your idea of Lacey Evans, then I say something sinister happens backstage to Lacey Evans. Something sinister happens to Lacey Evans. That sounds good. I like it. And Bray Wyatt ends up being the special guest referee after something sinister happened to Lacey Evans.
Yeah. We could both be wrong on this.
So... all right, and we could both be wrong, of course. So moving on, we have Becky Lynch versus said champion Becky Lynch versus Lacey Evans for the Raw Women's Championship.
Listen, right now, I hate both of these women. I especially hate Becky Lynch. I wish she would lose the title in this pay-per-view. But there's no way she's fucking losing the belt to Lacey. So, begrudgingly, I'm going to say Becky Lynch fucking retains. But only because of a fucking prediction, bitch. That's why I'm saying you're fucking retaining. I will never forgive what you said about fucking Edge calling him a frail man. You fucking spoiled, self-centered bitch. I'll never forgive you for that, girl. I'll never forgive you for that.
Is she a cunt whore?
Yes, she is. She's a cunt whore. To the extreme.
Oh, hell. Hey, listen, so you're going with Lacey Evans, is that right?
No, I'm going with Becky. Begrudgingly, I'm saying Becky retains. Begrudgingly.
Yes. Man, yeah. I just
I can't stand both of them. I can't stand them. They're both awful. Like, they both bring nothing to the table at all. Lacey's promos are the exact same fucking promos. She started to be good for weeks, but then when you finally realize that her promos are the exact same fucking shit, it gets repetitive and boring.
You know, I'm still on the Lacey boat. I haven't, I know she's got wide shoulders. The shoulders of a man. But I know what to look for now. You're saying their promos are fucking repetitive. And you know, the reason I'm still on the boat is because I haven't been watching it that much. I haven't been watching. Although this week I did watch both programs in their entirety.
By the way,
her
character is already ruined, by the way. She says she's a lady, but then a month ago, she said that she carried favor backstage. That means she showed a little tit and a little ass to the male producer to get a push. Her character is fucking ruined already. She can't call herself a lady after she's literally wiping sweat off her fucking body and throwing it on a fucking napkin on people's faces. That's not very ladylike at all.
Despicable.
That's not very ladylike at all.
It's madness.
All right, so who do you say, Minister?
Well, I have to go with... I would love to see somebody come out and fuck Becky Lynch over.
Yeah, but you know Lacey ain't winning. You know she ain't winning, dude.
I would love to see Becky Lynch, get fucked over by Charlotte and Lacey Evans win the title.
But that ain't going to happen.
I would love to see that, but it ain't going to happen. You're right. It ain't gonna happen, dude. And they're gonna give us Becky fucking Lynch retaining her fucking title, and it's gonna be fucking the same shit over and over again. They're spinning their wheels, man. They're spinning their fucking wheels. So we go on to Roman Reigns versus Drew fucking McIntyre in a singles match with no stipulation or nothing. What do you think of that, first and foremost?
I think it's fucking horseshit that we're getting this match again. Again. I'm going to say Drew McIntyre wins by shenanigans. Drew McIntyre wins by shenanigans. By shenanigans, Drew McIntyre wins.
Like a DQ or what?
No, like a screw job. Shane distracts Roman and then Drew hits the claymore and pins Roman.
Drew Mac wins dirty.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Because apparently Drew McIntyre can't defeat fucking Roman Reigns on his own. He has to get help by fucking old ass Shane McMahon. That makes Drew McIntyre look like a bitch in my eyes.
You know, up until last week, I'm sorry, not last week, but last pay-per-view, I would have said Roman Reigns, because I did say Roman Reigns on the last pay-per-view, and I was wrong. Fucking Shane O'Mac fucking ended up winning Roman Reigns, making Roman Reigns look like an even bigger bitch. And fucking this week on the pay-per-view, it's just clearly obvious that Shane O'Mac is going to come out and have a hand in this. And so he's going to screw Roman Reigns over again because, you know, Roman Reigns is being held down. You know, they got to sell that to us at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
So fucking man, Drew McIntyre wins the match. And that's that. Then we have Bayley, the champion Bayley.
The SmackDown champion, Bayley.
Champion, Bayley, versus Raw's Alexa Bliss.
With Nikki Cross in her corner.
Match. Yes. With Nikki Cross in her corner. In a singles match for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship.
Bayley retained. Let's just move on. She retains.
Brother Christian is saying Bayley retains.
No fucking matter. It makes no sense for a Raw superstar to win a SmackDown title. That's what makes the Raw card even more fucking retarded than it already is. Because that makes no fucking sense whatsoever.
And because it makes no sense to you whatsoever, I am going with Alexa Bliss. And this is the only difference in the card. Where we have gone against each other.
Well, why does Alexa Bliss need a world championship? I'm sorry to say this, but she doesn't deserve any right now. She hasn't done anything worthwhile to deserve a world title run right now. All she's been doing is crappy talk show segments. If anything, she doesn't deserve a world title match at all. Right now.
Yeah. Hey, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. I still got her down as my winner.
All right,
because
fine.
It just is.
Yeah.
It just is.
So
plus, she was looking very, very good the other day, dude, on SmackDown. Holy crap.
Yeah.
She looked the finest
yeah.
she's ever done.
So was that all the cards?
That's it, bro. You want to
fucking you know who's,
extra
yeah,
credit
questions? Yeah, I do. But you know who's not on the fucking card? The
Shane
fucking O'Mac? IC champion. No, the IC champion, Finn Balor.
Who?
The IC champion. The Intercontinental
yeah.
champion. Where the fuck has he been?
Where's the U.S. champion?
Oh, well, he's on Raw.
Who is the U.S. champion?
Joe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's on the card.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But the IC card, the title isn't on the card.
Yeah.
And who is the IC champion?
Finn Balor.
Oh, yeah. Finn fucking Balor.
Oh, he's on a tour to Tokyo. He's on a tour of Tokyo with the fucking club, and Triple H is joining the club for Tokyo.
Oh, yeah?
Yay. Triple H wants to be hip again. Yay.
Right?
All right, let's go to, yeah, well, right,
fucking,
let's go to the extra
fucking,
credit question.
What a fucking mark.
Yeah.
Since we're doing this on your show, give me some extra credit questions.
All right. Let's see. Will there be a controversial finish in one of the matches?
No, oh, come on, man. You can do better than that, bro. There's definitely going to be a controversial finish.
All right. Okay. Will there be an injury?
All right. Injury.
I'm gonna say no. I wouldn't think there would be injury with this fucking show.
Like what kind of injury?
Any kind.
Just
any
as long as it's
injury.
Announced. Just as long as we get an
yeah.
article saying that there's an injury, then I will say yes.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I will say yeah, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Any kind. It doesn't matter. All right. The next extra credit question is, will there be a heel turn?
Well, I'm going to say... No.
I will also say no. All right. Next one, the next extra credit question is, will there be an extra match added to the card? I would say no.
No extra match.
All right. two more extra critic questions. All right. This actually ties together, the two actually. The second last one is, will they mention Brock Lesnar cashing in? I'm gonna say yes.
Oh, you know they are. Yeah.
All right. And the last extra credit question is, will Brock Lesnar show up at the pay-per-view as a tease? I'm gonna say no. What do you say?
I'm going to say no, too.
All right, then. So those are our predictions. I must say, this looks like the most predictable fucking pay-per-view of all professional wrestling history. And it's a fucking shame. Don't be surprised if we both fucking tie for this or someone wins. But don't be surprised if we both fucking tie for this fucking pay-per-view. All right, guys? Don't be fucking surprised. Don't be fucking surprised. Well, that wraps up tonight's episode of Radio Renegades. I have been your host, Christian from Philly. Let's hear from the words of Minister and Sinister, because I believe he has an announcement today.
Yeah. The announcement that T-Rock is coming back. We're doing AEW again. We're going to do the AEW show. It's going to be AEW
exactly.
Fallout. It's going to be AEW
exactly.
Fallout. So I think we're having a pay-per-view. Isn't there a pay-per-view at the end of the month? That
no.
They're doing for
no
free. They're doing something free at the end of the month on Bleacher Report or some website.
Firefest.
So we might even bring it in for that. I don't know. Stay tuned. Who knows?
Yeah.
Fighter Fest. Yeah, that's what it is. Fighter Fest. June 29th. Could be. Let's check out the card real quick. How about that? Fighter Fest, Wikipedia. Let's see what they got going on. They have Michael Nakazawa versus Alex Jabali. Cody versus Darby Allin. Huh?
Don't know who those two are.
No. Cody versus Darby Allin. The Elite. And this is Kenny Omega, Matt Jackson, and Nick Jackson versus Lucha Brothers and Laredo Kid. Oh, I know the Laredo Kid.
Well, that's going to be a good match.
He's banging this fucking chick, I know.
Wow.
John Moxley versus Joey Janela in a singles match. Adam Page versus Jimmy Havoc and versus Jungle Boy versus MJF and Christopher Daniels versus Sima and Yuka Sakazaki versus Rio versus Nyla Rose. Best friends Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta versus SoCal Uncensored. And this is Scorpio Sky and Frankie Kazarian. Versus Private Party. Two unknowns. We have Kylie Rae versus Leva Bates with Peter Avalon. So it doesn't sound like much, but a lot of it is unknown to us. And these are people that are signed or working with AEW right now. So we might get, we might do a show for that. We'll stay tuned for that, huh? How about that?
Exactly. But
so in the meantime,
then,
yes. Until then, close us out, Christian.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Radio Renegades. Say goodbye to Minister of Sinister, my co-host of the night. And this has been Christian from Philly. See you next weekend with more Radio Renegades and Fatal 4-Way Radio on Fridays. Thursdays, Christian's Family Values. And yeah, the returning AEW Fallout, where T-Rock comes back, and he will announce hopefully the date for the IWC pay-per-view, where I will face Batman for my Legends Champion with special guest referee Joe Bates. T-Rock faces whoever he faces, and Minister of Sinister faces Double L for the IWC World Heavyweight Championship.
Hopefully on AEW Fallout, he gives the date on what happens. And I like to propose something. If I win my match with Batman, I like to book myself in a match. I like to book two matches in mind for me because I like that. So if T-Rock's listening, if I win my match against Batman, I want to book two matches by myself. You can book the rest of the card, but I want to book two matches. And these are history-making matches. These are history-making matches. So trust me, it'll make the next pay-per-view all the more fucking worthwhile to see. So trust me, and I won't let you down. But until then, this is your IWC Legends Champion. This has been your IWC World Heavyweight Champion. Signing off, and see you all next weekend. Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.